Good morning. This is
Listen Up.
Jesus is on the air. Wow. We have a full house today. We have Saverio Grosso again. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me back.
And he brought his children, Nicholas. You want to say like hello? Hello. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello. Awesome. And Anthony.
Good morning.
Awesome. And Megan, my friend Megan.
Good morning, everyone.
DJ Megan C.
Yes.
She's, you know, Megan, I thought of you when I picked the opening song because I knew you were going to come. And my friend Megan's also a break dancer. So that's really awesome.
Yes. Really cool. And I really enjoyed the song, too. It was a good choice.
You liked it?
I liked the sound.
It was like upbeat.
Yes, very upbeat.
Oh, good. Good. I'm happy. So we got to just get up and dance and praise him, right? It's a good morning. All right. So, and I'm Katharina Vidi. And of course, we just want to say that we love Jesus and we love you listeners. And thank you so much for listening. And if you have any questions or you want to text or you know, any thoughts you have about the show, feel free to text in. The text in number is 516-784-6081. Again, it's 516-784-6081. And if you want to call in at any time today during the show, that number is 631-888-8811. Again, it's 631-888-8811. And yeah, check out our website as well, listen-up.net. And all right, so let's get this party started. So today, Severo is going to mention to us about the Rosary and about our Blessed Mother and what it is, and just any questions that we have about the Rosary. And do you want to start us off with, maybe we could just start about what is the Rosary?
Sure. And it's a great question. So the Rosary it's a time-proven method of prayer. It's been passed down for hundreds of years, said by saints and popes, and it's been a method of really reflecting on Jesus's life all throughout the mysteries, all throughout the Gospels. So Pope John Paul II was great. He said it's the compendium, it's a grouping of the Gospel when you pray it. Contrary to popular belief or misconception, it's a Christ-centered prayer. We really do focus on Jesus. We're focusing on his life, but we look at it from the eyes of Mary. For me personally, I tend to love it because it engages all the senses. I get distracted easily with prayer. So the beauty of the Rosary is that we get to see the beads in our hands. If we're looking at a book that has mysteries in them, we get to see the words and reflect on them. We get to hear them as we say it. And the nice part about the beads is they're tangible. You get to hold on to them, and as you're going through them, your fingers are kept busy. You know, there's a lot of fidgeting that goes on sometimes in prayer, and the Rosary is great for that. It actually reminds us of the way Jesus taught his disciples, right? I always think of like the upper room. They had all the disciples were there except Thomas, and all the disciples got to see and hear Jesus when he came back after his resurrection, but Thomas wasn't there, and Thomas didn't believe it, he said, until he actually felt it. And that's the beauty of the Rosary. We get to see it, we get to hear it, but most importantly, we get to feel it. Sometimes I think people get worried with the Rosary because it almost feels like there's a lot to do, right? We have to say prayers, and we have to remember where we are. We have to remember what specific prayer to pray at that time. But the beauty of the Rosary is really if we allow ourselves to just forget what we're doing and to not focus on the actual actions that we're doing, and almost use it as a way of meditating and contemplation. There's a lot of different types of thoughts out there with people wanting to meditate and focus, and there's yoga and all this stuff, but for me, 15 minutes with those beads in my hand, I can focus on Jesus, I can focus on my breathing, I can really fall into it in a way that's beautiful. It's simple, that's the other nice part. So I've been teaching faith formation now for a few years, and I always love talking about the Rosary because it's so easy. I mean, it's prayers. It's not like you have to memorize these long, drawn-out things. It's the Our Father, Hail Mary, Glory Be. If you so feel, you can put the Fatima prayer in there, and then the Hail Holy Queen or the Salve Regina. It's really four prayers that you have to just say. Not have to, but, four prayers that you go through. So you can teach it to anyone. And I think that's why it was so popular as it grew in prominence, because it's easy to do, and it doesn't take much time. I always say, it only takes 15 minutes. You'll want to spend more time as you learn more about it, but really for 15 minutes, it's, bouncing between four prayers. You start with the Our Father, you start with the Creed, and then the Our Father, three Hail Marys, and then you spend time going through five different mysteries with one Our Father, 10 Hail Marys, and a Glory Be, and then you finish with a Hail Holy Queen, and each mystery brings you closer to an event in Jesus's life, and that's what I think. It's really a beautiful way to pray. Pope John Paul II was great. He mentioned even if you look at the beads, they're a circle, right? It's almost like an embrace, and they converge and open on the cross, right? Which reminds me every time I hold them that, you know, we are embraced by Jesus and embraced through his mother in this prayer, and we always are centered in going, starting from him and going back to him at the end. So that it's one of those prayers that I never really appreciated until I started really saying it more. The more I prayed it and the more I reflected on it, the more I realized how important it is for me, and you know, obviously in our family life, it's important as well.
That's awesome. Thank you. I really like that. For some reason it never hit me that, you know, we start with Jesus and we end with Jesus, and I think that's such a beautiful metaphor that our Blessed Lady always brings us to Jesus, mm-hmm. and he's the end, and he's the beginning and the end, and he's our, you know, the purpose for yeah. it. So she helps us, and we're not praying to her, and I think that's great. And I was just thinking, I agree with what you said about it's sometimes it's hard to say the rosary because you're like, oh, it's so long, or you know. But if you persevere, there is a lot of blessings. And I just had a question about, like, while you're saying the rosary, sometimes our mind gets like distracted.
Sure.
Do you have any suggestions on how to like stay focused, let's say, or even if you want to say something too?
Well, in religion, I learned about how we should deal with distractions during prayer. And I think if you get distracted during prayer, you should handle the situation calmly and then get back to prayer and not, like,
freak out.
Because then you're kind of disrupting prayer if you're getting all mad. So that's why you should just, if you're distracted, take it in a calm way, so then you can get back to prayer when you're done.
Oh, thank you. That's so
great
awesome.
Point.
Yeah. Just be like, it's okay. You let the thought flow by, and then Hail Mary.
Yeah. But, you know, it's funny, too, because I think we get distracted, and sometimes it's hard to refocus ourselves. But I always remember, the worst rosary is the one that you don't finish, right? Even if it's a bad rosary, in our eyes bad because we were distracted. I sometimes pray it on the train, and it's hard when people are coming on and off,
yeah.
and, you know, you get very distracted. But I just try to always go back to it. What I find helps me is reflecting on the mystery itself. I think sometimes the rosary can be a beautiful prayer because we're reflecting on it and it's meditative. But it also can put people to sleep. And I'll be honest, it's happened. I always joke, like, if you go to, I sometimes say the morning prayer at our parish in Manhattan near my office. And I always know where we are in it based on where people's heads are, right? Everyone's at the beginning, they're nice and tall. And by the fifth mystery, they're a little bit closer and closer to the ground, like almost they're falling asleep. But I think if you really understand what we're reflecting on, and that's where I think people lose the beauty of the rosary. The focus isn't so much the prayers. It's not saying the Hail Mary over and over. It's not saying the Our Father and the Glory Be. It's about reflecting on the specific mystery, whether it's the joyful mystery, the sorrowful, the luminous, or the glorious. If you know the Bible passage around it, all of a sudden it makes sense. And what I try to do now is, you know, if I'm on the train and I'm praying the sorrowful mysteries, and I get, you know, I get to something where I'm talking about, like, the crowning with thorns, right? Okay, it's a crowning with thorns. I understand the passion. I understand the events of that, and I'm trying to pray the Hail Mary around thinking of that event. But then sometimes I'm distracted because there's someone on the train who I can see is, you know, maybe not in the best mental state, and it almost brings me deeper into the prayer and to reflection on it, because now I'm sitting there going, okay, yes, Jesus, you know, suffered and he had his agony and he was crowned with thorns, but look at this person. Here's a person in today in front of me who's also crowned with thorns in an emotional way. And now all of a sudden when I'm praying, it's less about just making sure I get through my 10 and then I can move on to my next 10. I look at it and I say, okay, how can I connect with this person? And I can connect with them through prayer. I can pray for them. I can view them. When I'm walking down the street in Manhattan and I see someone who's homeless, right? I think about the poverty that Jesus was born in. So if you can understand the events that we focus on, then all of a sudden you can put it into practical, you know, practical relation with your life. And it goes away from, I just have to get through this 15 minutes of repetitive prayer, into really reflecting on who can I be and how can I help others and those in my life and those even, you know, these strangers on a subway who they're also suffering, and how can I pray for them, and how can I make sure that my rosary is thinking of them outside of just it being about me getting through my checklist of, okay, I did my rosary for the day, I'm good, one step closer to heaven. No, it's for me, I find it's a beautiful feeder into what do I do now that I'm done, right? I don't just start my day with the rosary and say, okay, I'm done, you know, check it off. All right, I had breakfast, check that off. Okay, you know, it's not about getting through the task. It's about using the prayer to influence my day. And once I started seeing it that way, then all of a sudden the prayers just come out. It's more of what I'm reflecting of and thinking of as I'm saying it. And now I don't fall asleep because I'm thinking of a person or an intention or a situation or a family member or a friend who has a situation. And now when I tell someone, I'll pray the rosary for you, that doesn't mean I'm just going to do my, you know, my 50 Hail Marys and be done with it. I'm going to be thinking about them and connecting the life of Jesus to their situation and thinking about how I can help them in their life. So for me, I find if I look at it from a biblical standpoint, and you know me by now, I try to make everything biblical in some sense. But if I understand the background of it, it becomes more than just, you know, just praying.
I think that's really awesome. That's totally going to change how I pray the rosary, for sure. You know, it's you're connecting other people to Jesus, and we're all connected in that way. So, and I also thought of the Blessed Mother, how in her apparition at Fatima, she said to pray for peace and to pray for the world. So it's essentially what we're doing in our own little way. You know, you're going to work. We go to work, you know, we could, we both commute, right, Megan?
Right.
So we could say it in the car, you know, on the way to work, like the rosary, and just pray for our coworkers, pray, for our family, pray just, you know, just whatever situation for ourselves, for, so I think that's
yeah, even awesome. For me, the rosary is still something that's still fairly, I'm trying to find the right word, but it's still something I'm learning about and that's still new to me. And even last night, like I prayed before I, you know, went to bed. I had the rosary with me. I wasn't fully engaged in the rosary. I just had it with me as I prayed. And even for me too, I have so much trouble focusing when I'm praying, and I do get distracted very easily, and just my mind just goes into other thoughts, and I'm like, no, let me, you know, I gotta go back to what I'm doing right now, praying. And that's something I'm still struggling with for me, so that's something I want to work on and get better at, as when I'm praying, and just, you know, learn more about the rosary and get more become more involved with the rosary. So it's something that I always have it with me wherever I go. It's always with me all the time. So, you know, that's what I'm using it for, just to always be with me. But in regards to counting the beads, like I start to lose track when we do prayer. I lose track easily. So that's something, you know, I'm just working on personally. So,
well, there's a lot of different ways to pray it.
Right.
I mean, prayer's tough.
Right.
Let's be honest. I mean, we're taught as children, pray. But no one ever says, what is prayer? Like, you know, I remember as a kid, you'd go to Mass and, you know, or a religious ed, and they'd say, all right, we're going to pray now. And say, all right, Hail Mary, Our Father, Glory Be. Okay.
Like what?
Now what? Right? But you see these people who are in prayer, especially if you go to like a holy hour. And I remember as a kid thinking, they must have memorized a lot of prayers. I mean, I only know like four or five. I don't know how they're here for an hour. But I realize it's not about what we're saying. it's about a conversation. And a good part of prayer is listening. And that's why if I focus on the rosary in focusing on the meditation, especially going back to scripture and the word of God through the Bible, then all of a sudden I'm allowing God to share with me. Sometimes, you know, we all have those people in our lives. Hopefully we don't, but, you know, we all have those people who talk at us, not to us, right? They say something and then, you know, when they're done, that's it, versus a conversation. And really, prayer should be that way. Prayer shouldn't be like, you know, God, this is what I want. This is what I need to help my friend do this. I need this. And then, okay, good night, right? It should be about listening. And that's what when I started viewing the rosary as more of a reflection on the gospel instead of just talking at God, all of a sudden now I start to hear. And as I'm reflecting on the mystery and I see someone or I remember a situation, you know, it's really hard to lose focus, I guess, when I remember what it's about, right? I know sometimes we'll pray the rosary in the car sometimes, and, you know, I'm naturally distracted because I'm driving, but all of a sudden I get cut off. Well, guess what? It's a little hard for me to get upset at that person if I'm in the middle of praying. So it helps me create this environment and atmosphere that should last me for the whole day and gives me the opportunity to really listen to the mystery and listen to, once I understand the story around what I'm praying about, now all of a sudden I could say, all right, how do I put that in my life today? How do I put the joyful mysteries in my life? How do I put the sorrowful mysteries in my life? How do I put all the many aspects of the Bible that we basically are praying when we go through the rosary? How do I use that for the rest of my day and apply it in my reactions with people? So yeah, sometimes am I on the eighth beat or on the ninth beat? I don't exactly remember, but I just keep going. I actually always go backwards. I'm like, all right, well, maybe I'm on the eighth. I'll just, if I do an extra one, it's not going to hurt anyone, right? Yeah. It's always better to just
do that. Right. Keep going. Yeah. Somebody told me it's always better just to do it. Like if you skip even like a couple 10 Hail Marys, it's better than not doing it
right
at all. Sometimes we got to change our, like how we think, like, mm-hmm. oh, you know, I didn't say it. 10 Hail Marys. Mm-hmm. I missed like a couple. Well, I guess it's better than not doing it at all, or even if we said one decade, I guess that's better than nothing. So,
yep.
But awesome. Did you want to share some biblical, the basis of the rosary?
Sure. Yeah.
I know we mentioned about the Bible, and yeah, you could tell us a little more.
Sure. Well, the funny thing about the Hail Mary, or even just the rosary in general. So when I first learned about it, I think I was of the mindset of like, okay, this is, you know, this is that prayer that I see the old ladies doing in church, and they're, you know, they're in the back and they're there for their time doing it. But once I realized that it's based on the Bible, right? I think there are a lot of non-Catholic Christians who sometimes look at our praying the rosary as a negative thing, as almost we're focusing too much on Mary. So having friends and having had conversations around that, I realized it's not. If you look at the actual prayer that we're saying when we pray the Hail Mary, the first part, it's all biblical, right? In fact, the rosary itself is all biblical. We pray the Our Father, which comes from the Gospel of Matthew, and then we get to pray the Hail Mary, which the first part of it comes from Luke, right? We get to say the words that the angel said to her, Hail Mary, right? There's no greater response than what the angel was told by God to say to this 14-year-old girl, right? So when we repeat that, we're basically repeating the words of the angel. And then we get to hear the second part of it. We get to repeat the words that Elizabeth said, right? Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Elizabeth doesn't say, you know, we're going to worship you. She says, you're blessed, and what else? The fruit of your womb, right? She recognizes the mother of God. And so when we look at that, you see the beautiful connection between what God is saying through the angel to Mary to get her attention and to get her, you know, basically her yes, which starts salvation history. And then we get to see it reconfirmed in Elizabeth, who recognizes the mother of God right there in front of her. I know in our last, in my last Mary Matters talk, and a little bit last time when we were on the show, we talked about the beauty of Luke's gospel and the connection. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we read passages and they don't really make sense, but when we look at the connection with the Old Testament, what Elizabeth, who is a Levite priest, she is echoing the words that David said when he found the Ark of the Covenant. And if we remember the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark is what held the way, the truth, and life. It held the manna that sustained the Israelites in the desert. It held Aaron's staff, which was the sign of the priesthood. It held the law, the way, the Ten Commandments, right? That signified God's presence. So when Elizabeth says, you know, blessed are you among women, and recognizes Mary and has this cry of joy, she's basically saying, oh my goodness, the ark that had been missing, God's presence is back, and it's here in you, my cousin, in the birth of your child. And then the words around it, I mean, John the Baptist leapt in the womb. Well, that's the same thing David did when he was leaping, when he found the Ark of the Covenant, and he was bringing it into Jerusalem before it was, you know, taken out and hidden. We hear that Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months. Well, guess what? The Ark stayed in the same area of Judah when David left it there for 3 months with Obed-Edom's family. So sometimes we read these little passages, and even when we look at the mysteries, there's so much that you could dive into and so much you can really learn. But, you know, if we're just looking at it as a method of getting through these prayers in 15 minutes and then we're done, you miss all that beauty. So our brothers and sisters of the Christian faith that look at us as praying the Hail Mary as a way of worshiping her, it's not, right? If you actually look at the prayer, the first two lines, right, they're from the Bible. And then the second part, we're just stating the obvious. Holy Mary, Mother of God. And then what do? We ask for her intercession. Pray for us sinners, right? We're not saying we're going to you. We're asking her to intercede for us. Just as I would ask, you know, you or my friends or somebody else, hey, can you, you know, my grandmother's sick, can you pray for her? Hey, my son's got this going on, can you pray for him? I'm asking you to help me and pray so that I can flood God as much as possible with as many prayers. Well, all we're doing is we're asking Mary to do the same thing. And who better to turn to than the Mother of God, than Jesus's own mother, who he listened to when he was on earth, who's now beside him in heaven? Like, that's even better. So it's not, I think there's a misconception that we sometimes worship Mary. We venerate Mary, we honor her just as we honor our family, but it never takes away from Jesus. And that's the, you know, the common misconception, that if Protestants or non-Catholic Christians actually sat down and looked at what we were doing with the rosary, they would realize it's more biblical than some of the other stuff that people do out there. It's rooted in, like, we're going through the Bible as we pray it. And the prayers we say come directly from the Bible. So it's not this made-up thing. And it shows up in history. So that's one of those beautiful things.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much. I think we're going to play a song now just to kind of, just kind of reflect on what Saverio mentioned, and just to help us surrender whatever we're going through right now. If you have any prayers, just as you listen to the song, just surrender it to the Lord as we, through the Blessed Mother.
give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessings fall on me. I surrender.
Sister, I just noticed your shirt, Severio. It's so beautiful with the rosary and Mary and the it's blue. It's very appropriate. All right, so I think we're going to get into the history a little bit of the rosary and how it started and how did it come about.
So sure.
Thank you.
Sure. The history is actually interesting, and I never really knew too much about the history until I started doing some research around it for some of the presentations I was doing for our faith formation group. We have a wonderful faith formation group, and you know, every year I was asked to do a presentation on the rosary. So I said, I know how to pray it, I know the benefits of praying it, but I'm curious, where did it come from? So there's a lot of different, I guess, interpretations of where it came from. It's rooted in basically the monks. So back then, back in like the early, you know, 1100s, the monks would recite every single day the 150 Psalms, right? So the Book of Psalms has 150 chapters in it, and they would recite all the different Psalms. But you had to be educated, and you had to know how to read, because you had to be able to read it and memorize it and say it. So people who were living around these monasteries wanted to have a very prayerful life, but they didn't know how to do that because they just didn't read. They were uneducated. So some of the monks kind of passed this idea down of, well, say the Our Father 150 times. So people would go around with two bags or pouches on them, and they would have rocks or pebbles in them, and they would just move them back and forth, and that's how they would keep track. Thankfully, someone figured out to put them on a rope, because that would be too hard.
Rocks would be quite heavy.
Yeah. So they were doing that, and then a few other groups of people actually started focusing a little bit on the angelic salutation, so which is the Hail Mary. So the story that I've read that is kind of the foundation of it is that Saint Dominic was trying to convert a group of people, heretics, in the early 1200s, the Albigensians. Sorry, thankfully they're not around, so I don't have to remember their name, but he was trying really hard, and he withdrew into the forest because he was failing. And I love the story because it reminds me of kind of how we are sometimes. He was trying to preach and share this message, and it was just falling on deaf ears. So he felt embarrassed, he felt weak, he felt, you know, as a failure in his mission, in his path. So he goes off into the woods, and he spends 3 days there basically just starving himself, not eating, not drinking, crying, and beating himself up. And when I say that, I mean not only emotionally, but like physically. He was, you know, that was something they did back then. He just felt like a complete failure. And I think of like how often we sometimes are that way, where we try something, it doesn't work, and we just beat ourselves up. He did it. He starved himself so bad that after 3 days, he actually falls into a coma. And he's out.
Man.
And at that point, the Blessed Mother comes to him with three angels, and she says, you know, Dominic, do you know how I want to convert these people? And the Blessed Trinity has a way to do that. And so he turns to Mary and he says, I don't know how to do it on my own, but you who knows how to intercede and who plays a big part in God's plan for salvation, you know best. Tell me. And so she says, if you want to convert these people in this type of spiritual warfare, you need to pray my angelic Psalter, which is the Hail Mary. So he gets up, he wakes up out of his coma, he's completely rejuvenated, bolts back into town. While he's in town, somehow the bells ring and all the people come there. And when they get there, he starts preaching. And he starts preaching on the rosary, he starts teaching them how to pray it. And then next thing you know, the entire town and those peoples, the heretics of that time, were all converted. And St. Dominic, from that point on, always preached the rosary, constantly. There are tons of stories. If you ever really want to read a lot of information about the rosary, there's a book from St. Louis de Montfort called The Secrets of the Rosary. And there are dozens and dozens of stories where people would come to St. Dominic asking for guidance, asking for advice, and the first thing he would say is, pray the rosary. Turn to Our Lady, and she will take you, and she will turn you to the Son. And he did that. So before every sermon he ever gave, before every trial or anything that he faced, he continually preached that rosary. So you had the monks with their psalms, and then you had another group of people, the less educated, doing the 150 Our Fathers. And then you had Dominic, who was preaching the 150 Hail Marys. So around the 13th century, they were all combined. And in 1569, Pope Pius V actually made the rosary an official prayer, which contains the reflection on the mysteries, the reflection on the Psalms, as far as focusing on the path that Jesus would lead us, the combination of the Our Father and the Hail Mary and the Glory Be. So it's really beautiful, the story, the way it came about. And it didn't end at St. Dominic. It continued. Hundreds of saints, if you look back, hundreds of saints have used it. St. Dominic, St. Bernard, St. Augustine, Padre Pio, St. Anthony, St. Francis, St. Catherine. You name a saint, and most likely they have said something somewhere about the rosary being an important part of their life. Pope John Paul II was renowned for his devotion to it. In fact, his papal model was Totus Tuus, which comes from the consecration to Mary from St. Louis de Montfort, which means totally yours, right? He knew in the power of turning to our spiritual mother and how she will help guide us and turn us to her Son. So a lot of popes have kind of shared their experiences, their love for it. Pope Leo XIII wrote 9 encyclicals on it. Pope John the 23rd spoke close to 40 times on it. Today's St. Thomas's feast day. St. Thomas actually spent 40 days straight just preaching about the Hail Mary in Rome. 40 days, nonstop. I mean, I know I can talk, but 40 days straight on just the rosary, he definitely was going. So it's beautiful. If you turn to it, it really is. I love the idea of that it's a weapon, right? Not in a, it's a spiritual weapon, and we're under a need for spiritual warfare, and to have a weapon. So I always turn to it knowing that, mm-hmm. you know, it's there. Padre Pio was, you know, he said it best, the rosary is a weapon of our time. So.
Right. And I like the little story that you told me before, in preparation for coming today, that Mother Teresa was at the airport one time. And they told her, like, when you have to pass through customs, mm-hmm. Do you have any weapons on you? And she says, actually, yes, I do. And she pulled out the rosary and then put it in the little thing, in the little bin. So it's really powerful, really effective.
There have been popes in the past. So there are a couple of dates throughout history where the rosary was known for being a turning point. You mentioned one earlier with Fatima. Mm-hmm. But our October 7th is Our Lady of Victory, which is significant because that was a day that there was a naval victory that happened in Lepanto in Italy, and that was attributed to the Pope at that time basically telling everyone, we all need to pray the rosary right now, otherwise, you know, Rome will no longer be what it will be.
The Christian, right? Rome will be taken over by another religion,
correct.
Right? It wasn't the Muslims?
It was the Ottoman.
The Ottoman.
So,
okay.
And then that also, in Vienna, there was another situation where a Polish king devoted his army, dedicated his army to the mother's protection, Our Lady's protection, and then he actually attacked, like, he had 18,000 person army, and he attacked a 200,000 person army and sent them fleeing, which stopped the Ottoman Empire from basically taking over all of Europe.
Right.
And it was so, I guess it was so important of a moment at that time that Pope Innocent actually changed his papal coat of arms to include the Polish eagle on it, and then took the Day of the Victories, which is September 12th, and converted that into another Marian feast day. So it's beautiful when you look back at it's
at
something
history and
yeah.
How it can't, you know, there has to be a spiritual influence there, because otherwise, like, how can it happen? It's mm-hmm. just impossible, you know,
right.
in human ways, and that's so awesome. Thank you for sharing.
Oh,
and,
my pleasure.
I know that Nicholas wanted to share a little bit. We could go into the different ways of the rosary, and I know you mentioned that you guys, as a family, say, is it the living rosary?
Yeah.
Can you explain that?
Sure.
I've never heard of it
sure.
before, or maybe I heard it differently. Maybe it's called something else,
sure,
and
sure.
I've never.
Well, I mean, there's different ways to say the rosary. The traditional way is, you know, as we've kind of talked about.
Mm-hmm.
There's other methods where you focus more, and you have that amazing book.
Yeah, the scriptural rosary. My neighbor Giuliano gave it to me.
Yeah.
He's like, "Have you heard of this?" I was like, "No," and he's like, "Oh, I got to get you this little book." He said it really nice. He was like, "It's gonna change how you pray the rosary. It's gonna take you on a journey."
Because it takes, so there's a couple of different methods. The first is just a traditional. Then you can say more of a scriptural, where you focus, you say, you read the scripture around that mystery and then pray your rosary. But I love that one because it follows a method where you mm-hmm. say a piece of that scripture and then the Hail Mary, a piece of the scripture. So it always brings you back and helps you refocus. There's another way. St. Louis de Montfort has one where you do more of a meditation and reflection before that. There's another one which I've been thinking about doing, which is a second method from St. Louis de Montfort, where you actually add a word corresponding to the mystery. So if you were doing like the third joyous mystery, you would say Hail Mary, then you would say Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus, and then you would add to it part of the mystery. So you would say born in poverty, and you'd say that for the 10, and then for the next one, you know, presented in the temple. So this way it keeps you kind of re-engaged. You could say it as a group. It's always better to unite your prayers, because if somebody's kind of dozing off or struggling, the group can help bring them back. We've taken to the living rosary, which is it was a method Pope John Paul II used. He would actually get groups of people together, and I'll let, if you guys want to talk about it this way, you pray it. So
basically every morning when I go on the bus to go to school, I say One Our Father, 10 Hail Marys, and a Glory Be. And what we've started is we have like a schedule. One day someone says two mysteries, and then the other three people say just one mystery, and we just alternate.
Yeah, what I really like about the Living Rosary is that it kind of gives everyone a sense of unity, which is what the Catholic faith is about, charity and unity in Christ. So by everyone saying a different decade of the Rosary and all being united, it kind of gives you a better sense of the faith.
Okay, great. So it's just pretty much everybody goes around, has one decade.
Yeah. So you basically take the rosary and you break it up, and the beauty of, so Pope John Paul II used to do it with, he'd get 15 people, or then 20 people, and each person would do it. So you would actually do all the mysteries all at once, and he described it a way that was beautiful, was that it's like incense. So everyone's praying at different points in the day, different points where they are location-wise. If you have children off in college and they're praying it, I mean, it takes 3 minutes to do a decade. But all of a sudden, at the end of the day, they're all united. All those prayers have gone up to heaven in a way that your entire family is. So it's the unity around it. As my son Anthony said, you know, that it's united in that way. And we pray it. We pray that, and then we also find other ways to pray it, right?
Yeah, we pray it in the car to hockey. I pray it before bed. Whenever I have a chance, I really pray it. And that actually helped me with the getting distracted thing, because when I pray it, I kind of get lost in it in a way where nothing else really matters except prayer. So even if I do get distracted, it's not that I'm focusing on other things. It's that I'm getting distracted within the rosary itself.
That's great. Yeah. That's really awesome.
And you pray all the time, too?
I pray before, when I wake up, before I go to bed, and because I go to Kellenberg, we pray before every period. So I pray like 15, 20 times a day.
Oh, that's really awesome.
Wow.
That's really good. Oh. So you don't have to, I'm just trying to think again of the Living Rosary. So pretty much it's just part of the rosary.
Mm-hmm.
So like, let's say, like if you're a family of five,
that's
like
perfect.
The father would have, like, let's say at one point during the day, he would say the first decade.
Mm-hmm.
And then the mom would say maybe the second, let's say after lunch or whatever, she has some time. And then the children would each say the other parts mm-hmm. of it. Okay.
It's throughout the day.
So you don't have to be focused like, oh my gosh, I didn't say a whole rosary.
Right.
It's okay. My whole family said
yeah.
it. So.
And I think it's nice too, in the sense of, I know that during the day, because I do my regular rosary, and then I know I'm doing that decade, and we rotate because there's four of us, so somebody's pulling double duty every now and then, and is doing, you know, if we're doing the joyous, I'll do the first and then the fifth, and then I know that my family will be doing the other parts, and it's nice because as I'm praying it, I'm also thinking about my family, thinking like, all right, I know my sons are praying this because they're on their bus right now. And I
yeah,
know my
like
wife is praying this because,
yeah.
you know, she's always praying at this time throughout the day. And it's nice. It's a way for you to not only pray for yourself and pray for God's graces, but you're also thinking about others. And that's what the beauty of prayer is. It's really conversation. And when a conversation gets away from focusing on ourselves and we start conversing about others in our lives and thinking about others and praying for others, then all of a sudden we really are united. And I know, like, I love coming home at the end of the day and knowing, all right, even if I didn't get a chance to pray mine, I know my family did. And then now I'm devoted to making sure that, you know, I complete that circle, I complete the unity. And this way, our bond as a family is always intact. And it doesn't take long. And my son said, you know, we'll pray it on the way to hockey, right? If we're in the car for a half hour, we can either listen to three horrible songs on the radio, or we could say the rosary together. And I've never met anyone who says the rosary and tells you not to say it, right? I've never met one person who said, oh, I say the rosary every day, but really it's not for you, right? Every person you've ever met that says the rosary recommends it because there's graces that come to it. One of the saints, I forget who it was, but he made a great point of anyone who prays the rosary really can't sin too much. Because
oh, yeah,
if you pray
yeah.
the rosary,
it's like you can't do
you
both.
Can't sin. So you
yeah.
either got to give one up, the sin or the rosary. So that's why even if you have even if your rosary you feel has been distracted and you weren't fully there, it's still better than giving up. Because the minute you stop praying it, you're putting down that weapon. You're basically saying, all right, well, I'm not worthy enough. And that's all sometimes the evil one needs is just a little crack to get in mm-hmm. and then just spread from there. So, you know, keep yourself strong. Pray it 15 minutes. There's tons. The scriptural rosary is great. There are tons of CDs out there. So I have one that I love that's it's Father Benedict Groeschel. It's a little longer, so it's about 25, 30 minutes. But it's amazing because he leads you through reflection that, you know, I'm literally leaving my house with food in my hand, coffee in my other hand, running down my block to try to catch a train. By the time I get on the train, my stomach hurts from eating on the run. I'm worried about what I have to get done for the day. But then I stop and I take that rosary out of my pocket and I pray it. And by the time it's done, I'm calm. I've reflected. I feel like I've prepared myself for the day. When I'm on the subway, I can see places in my life or people in my life who I can help, I can pray for, and it just starts off the day on the right foot versus, you know, I'll do it later. Because mm-hmm. if I know myself, if I push it off to later, it just won't happen. So I know that in the worst time, the time that I need it the most, that's when I stop and pray it. Because I know that I'll be better afterwards. Just like Mass. If you go to Mass, it's really hard to leave Mass and feel worse. You always, no matter what, you always walk out feeling better.
You always learn something. Yeah. You know, it's just very calming, and God's presence is there. So. Yeah.
And it's, yeah. one of the popes who are saints said that outside of going to Mass, the second best way to pray and be close to Jesus is through the rosary. Because you're reflecting on the gospel, just as you do in Mass, you're reflecting on the gospel, and you're uniting your prayer with, you know, thousands of others out there. My mother-in-law shared with me this thing called the Rosary Club. So it's like the living rosary, except mm-hmm. all you do is you pray one. So you pray one Hail Mary, and you pray it for the intention of the Hail Mary Club. And there are thousands of people who are out there as part of this club that they're just saying the one Hail Mary. And they're all united, right? One brick doesn't do anything, but when you put enough together, you can really build something beautiful. And that's the idea with prayer. If you just start with something small and just allow God to work through you and turn to his mother, she'll bring you to her son, and everything else from there just flows. So.
Oh, thank you. That's so beautiful. I love the imagery of the brick and putting everything together one step at a time. One Hail Mary is all it takes sometimes. And I just thought of at St. Catherine of Siena. We just recently received a statue, and it's now it's placed right in front of the rectory house. Mm-hmm. And my dad, if he's listening, hi dad, hi mom. he helped build the, and my sister Amanda here too.
Hi.
She's right here too.
So hi.
She's videoing. Helped build the platform for the statue, and I just have a quote here that I just feel would like to share. It's just so beautiful about God's love for us. It's from Mother Teresa of Calcutta. She wrote this letter, and I just want to read a part of it. And it says, "My dearest children, Jesus wants me to tell you again how much is the love he has for each one of you, beyond all that you can imagine. I worry some of you still have not really met Jesus one-to-one, you and Jesus alone. We may spend time in chapel, but have you seen with the eyes of your soul how he looks at you with love?" And I really like that, because it's just that unique love that Jesus has for each individual. No one is the same. Even if you're a twin, you're not the same.
Triplet.
Or a triplet. Oh, yeah, that's right. You're a triplet. Oh, my gosh. I always... Yes, and
Katerina, where have you been the last 10 years?
No, in this moment I really forgot that you're a triplet.
Yes.
You have two brothers,
yes.
Right, Megan?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Amanda wants to say something. Go ahead. No? Okay. What?
I have two. Well, my friends are twins.
Okay, your friends are twins.
I have two friends who are twins.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Isn't it kind of, it's interesting to see them, right? Because it's like the same face, but they're not.
One time I got them at the same exact clothes, and I was like, hey, I
love you. Okay, awesome. Very good. Did you want to share anything about the rosary or how... okay, great. Oh, we have somebody on the line that's calling in. Okay. Is that person on, Trevor? No, not yet. Okay. We'll hold on one moment and we'll take a call. Let's see who it is. Oh, it's a wrong number? Oh, it's okay.
So excited for a second.
I know. I was so excited. I was like, who's gonna come and say something? All right. So let's transition here to the saint. We mentioned about saints. We mentioned the story of Saint Dominic and Padre Pio and some other saints who are very devoted. And we could pray for their intercession in this moment. And I just kind of want to end with a prayer. And so let's say a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for bringing us here together safely and to share with all of our listeners what you had to tell us today about the Rosary and your Blessed Mother. And we just ask through her intercession that all of the intentions of our listeners be heard by you, and may your will be done in all of our lives. And we just wish for goodwill and peace among all of us, and that we all may know how much you love us and may know that you are with us every step of the way, every step during our days. We just thank you and we praise you, and we ask this through all the intercession of your saints and through your precious name, Lord Jesus. And we just say a Hail Mary, full of grace,
the Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Okay. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. God bless you, listeners. Please listen in next week for an amazing show. And don't forget, you could listen at either 1240 AM radio station or 95.9 FM radio station next week, every Saturday at 10 a.m. Okay, God bless.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.